Welcome to the OneUp Sales Development Podcast, a podcast for new and emerging revenue leaders, whether you're in sales, marketing, or customer success. We're here for one thing and one thing only, to drive revenue. This one goes out to all the hustlers out there on the phones, each and every day, slugging it out. Whether you're adding net new logos, expanding revenue from your sales base, or renewing existing accounts, it's all about working as one cohesive team towards one cohesive goal.
Cross-functional sales team!
So if you're new and you want to be a top funnel sales dev strategist, then you better put in the work and act like one. Digital marketing, act like one. Customer success, act like one. To be the bro, act the role. I'm your host, Jackson Lill, a top funnel revenue growth leader and an everyday frontline practitioner. This podcast is brought to you by the SDU community, Sales Dev
Unite. SDRs Unite!
Thank you for tuning in and enjoy the show. Five, four, three, two, one. Sean, welcome to the OneUp Sales Development Podcast.
Jackson, thank you for having me.
Oh my God, Sean Finder, creator of Auto Close.
Yeah.
Recently acquired by VanillaSoft. Is that you?
That is me. Yeah, we were just acquired October 2020. So, not too long ago.
This is amazing. It's amazing. Sean, just throw it out there. You know, I've been chasing you for about a good year now, right? Year and a half. I'm not sure you realize that.
Yeah. Persistent came through though. Your persistent came through, Jackson.
Thank you. And this is my time over at 10 Bound. I was like, you know, you'd be a good person to maybe be a sponsor at a time. So I created a SDR TV full walkthrough of your product. And when I reached out, it's like, bam. And then you got acquired. Bam. I was like, okay, I got to get him on a podcast because this is revenue podcast now. So congratulations. Welcome to coming on the show. We truly appreciate you, man. This is exciting.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Sean, so for our listeners today, why don't you go ahead and just give us a brief background about, you know, who you are and what do you currently do?
Okay. So, my name's Sean Finder, was the founder of AutoClose and Exchange Leads, which were both acquired in October 2020. But before my entrepreneurial days, I have an interesting story. I actually was a professional tennis player. So I played a little bit on the ATP Tour, played college tennis, and was world ranked before I started my first company. It's got to be about eight years ago now, but so back in the day, did my MBA in finance, went from finance into a sales role, came up with the idea of Exchange Leads, built that company up, parlayed that into Auto Close in 2017, and was acquired in 2020.
okay, hold on. What is Exchange Lead?
Okay. So Exchange Leads was similar to the old Jigsaw, which was acquired by Salesforce and changed to data.com. So Exchange Leads was a data platform that professionals can go in, they can upload their own data, build credits, and download new data. So basically what we did was we provided you high quality data for your prospecting, but it was all in a software as a service model.
Like lead enrichment, is that what we're hearing?
Yeah, so it was kind of like lead enrichment, but it was basically you wanted 10,000 prospects to cold email to come to this podcast. We sold that data and we had a subscription model where every month you get a certain amount of contacts that you can contact inside the Exchange Leads platform.
Got it. And it's still well done live today, right?
Yeah, so Exchange Leads, well, it parlayed into AutoClose. So what we did after that was we built the platform AutoClose, which was like, we had a lot of clients coming in. They loved Exchange. And like, well, we love your data, but like, we have to now go somewhere to email that data. And I'm like, there we go. Let me start a company that actually allows you to email the data. So AutoClose takes the data and allows you to upload it in. And then we allow you to send out email campaigns from directly in the platform. So we parlayed both businesses into one.
Nice. Congratulations. So success breeds success, right? You create out lead enrichment software and then it came out and then they're like, hey, how do we reach out to them? I got you. And that's how auto close was born. Wow, long behold.
Yeah. So it was just kind of, you know, what is the next step? How can we not have our clients go to another SaaS company, but do it all under one umbrella? So we kept building everything under one umbrella so they didn't have to leave auto close.
Got it. Amazing. You know, Sean, how did you, you know, we want to get you to know you a little bit better on a personal level. Yeah. Are you, you know, in Canada, Canadian, born and raised?
Oh, great question. I'm in Toronto, Canada.
Yeah.
38 years old, turning 39 soon. So I'm heading up that 40 in about a year and a month. So my, you know, in 3 weeks will be my 39th birthday. Yeah. I'm born and raised in Toronto, Canada. Four boys in my family. And been living here my entire life. Did my MBA in Hamilton. So was kind of a finance major before I became an entrepreneur. And then went from there and started my first business, as I mentioned, and then grew that business. And then AutoClose was the second venture.
Nice. Okay. So born and raised, kind of went to school. I'm finance major. How did you get into tech? What sparked you for exchange lead? What, you know, because you were in school, you're finance major. Most people would oftentimes work for a bank, right? But you took a horizontal jump. How did someone help you out where you're exposed to the tech game, or what's that story there?
That's a great question. It's almost like you know my story by the way you were saying that. So funny enough, I actually did work for the bank. So I was actually working for the bank for my MBA. Yeah. And then what happened? I mean, it's almost like you know my story. I went in for an interview for another bank job.
Yeah.
And the guy that was recruiting, he goes, listen, he goes, you should be in sales. And I'm like, okay, well, I mean, I've done some sales, but you should be in sales. I'm like, sure. I have an MBA in finance, but sure. So he ends up introducing me to it was an email archiving company. And he goes, I want you to run my whole sales team. I want you to be director of sales. I'm like, well, I've never been an SDR or an AE. Like, I've never done that. Just go write the director of sales, manage the team and do it. I'm like, okay. So what happened was I ended up taking that position because the pay was great. And I was like, well, I can get out of finance. I'm an extrovert. So I'm outgoing a little bit. Finance is a little bit more introvert. And then what happened was my first day on the job, we acquired a list and wired a company money. And the list just had terrible emails, terrible phone numbers and everything. I go for lunch on day two. And I say to the guy that's the CTO of the company, I'm like, I mean, I should just start a company that provides high quality data and not volume data. He's like, well, we can. And I was like, okay. He's like, I have some people in Eastern Europe. Let's talk about it. And what happened was I ended up talking to him about it. And just say about 3 weeks later, after I started my new role, me and the CTO went partners on a side business that ended up turning into exchange leads.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. Okay. So what we're hearing is you were at a bank, right?
Yep.
Finance, you're working on your MBA, and then some guy's like, hey man, you know what, Sean, you're pretty talkative, you're sitting behind a desk, and you know, I'm sure you're not getting commission for what you do, you should be in sales. Is that pretty much what happened? He's, hey, why don't you just come in and be the director?
Okay. Yeah, he was just like, come be the business development director and run my sales team. And he was a big guy at Microsoft, but was an investor in the company, flew in from New York, interviewed me with half an hour, and I asked him for $20,000 more than I was making.
Yeah.
And he said, no problem. I'm like, well, I'm in. Give it to me.
Hold on. Okay. Was he like a client of yours that you were working on, you know, working on his account or something? How did you guys cross paths there?
Just from the recruiter. The recruiter was one of the recruiter's clients who was looking for a director of sales.
Yeah.
And he looked at me and goes, I know you have no real sales experience. I've had sales experience. I work retail a bit, but he's like, just interview for it. And when I interviewed for it, right on the spot, the guy offered me the job.
Oh, wow. Okay. And was that EP, enterprise prospecting, or is that something else I'm off here?
Oh no, that was it was a company called Jaytheon out of Toronto. So it was a company, an email archiving company out of Toronto, but the board of directors and everyone was out of New York.
Got it. Okay. That totally makes sense. You know, what I really love about that, when interviewing a lot of entrepreneurs who did come on a one-up sales development podcast is they oftentimes cross paths on accident for something that they found like, holy crap, dude, like your data sucks. There needs to be a need in it. And not to steal the show here, but I remember when I first started with David Delaney, we bought this lead enrichment. It's like a lifetime deal. Hey, Sean, you get 1,000 leads a month. One-time payment of $50, right?
Oh, yeah.
God damn, the data sucks. I'm talking about you send it. It's like a 40-45% accurate data, man. Hey, yeah. we should have hit you up, huh? Okay, so John, just before we move to articles, I'm curious to pick your brain. Lead enrichment is like it's table stakes nowadays. Sales development world, you gotta have it. There's moving parts everywhere. People are constantly moving. They're changing the number for whatever reason. Hey, someone keep calling me. They keep harassing me. My ex is chasing me. I don't know. Changing number, whatever. And you don't have to answer it, but like, what are a few insights? Like, you know, how does that work? Validating data.
Yeah. So there's a lot of companies out there doing it. What I would say is make sure you pick a reputable one. You might want to, you know, everyone says, oh, well, I got data for so cheap. Well, cheap data, you'll get the 45% bounce rate. You might as well not. Don't buy too cheap data. But the key is to kind of get a sample and see what fields, you know, see what fields they provide and make sure that they do some sort of email validation. There's tools like Zero Bounce, Never Bounce, Xverify. There's a ton of data validation tools. Make sure that they use it because the last thing you want to do is buy data and buy data that has too high of a bounce rate. A, you're going to waste a lot of money, but B, you're going to ruin your domain and that could really, really hurt your domain, your reputation. So you got to be very careful.
Yeah, got it. So we got to, you know, bounce rate is, it's for the industry standard, I believe, I could be wrong, but from what I know, it's 90% or up. That's what you want, right?
Yeah.
Something higher up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't go anything and invest in that. Sean, growing up, you still play tennis?
Funny you ask. It's almost like you're reading my mind. I played tennis last Tuesday for the first time in about 4 years. And let me tell you, The technique, the power still there. The stamina was struggling. I was tired after 20 minutes and I used to have no problem playing for 6 hours a day.
Yeah, no problem. Did you just like slowly getting back into it or just a little bit here and there?
I'm going to actually start getting back into it. So I'm going to be joining a tennis club and playing every Tuesday. So I'm going to try and play once or twice a week to get back into it. But I was struggling after last week. It took me about 48 hours to recover, and I felt like I was a lot older than I really am. That's for sure.
It's not a problem at all. It happens, right? You know, you get older and you snooze, you lose. But hey, you're living life. Hey, you just got acquired. I'm just kidding. Sean, no, I had like a lot of, because I did some really thorough research on you prior. And I guess some of it just answered the questions too. You know, you mentioned that you have people already lined up ready to buy.
Yes.
Once you roll it out before. And I'm guessing that's because the idea just came out of Exchange Lead, right? Like they've been telling you and you're like, hey, if I roll this out, will you buy it?
Yep.
Does that make sense? What happened?
Exactly like you said. So what we did for Auto Close was we did that, but one thing I did, and it's anyone that's listening and looking to start a business is a great tip and it really worked for us is when I came up with the idea and I met the developers in New York and we started building it, I actually had emails go out every 2 weeks showing the progress of what we're building. And what this did was over 6 months, when we had our launch date, everyone felt like it'd be like building a condo. And you bought the condo and you're seeing every floor being built in that condo until it's done. By doing this 6 months before, we built an email list of almost 3,000 people. And when we actually had the launch day, everyone came, they just want to see what we've been building. And the best thing is they felt like they built it with us because they saw the first floor built, the second floor built. We would send them an email saying, hey, we're deciding between building feature A and B, which one would help your business? Oh, feature A. Okay, perfect. And we actually did surveys. So when we actually built it, not only did they feel like they were building it with us, they were so excited for our launch. Everyone came and everyone supported the launch. And literally we had, at that point, it was just me and one other guy in a boardroom. And I can't even tell you, we were sitting there for 16 hours a day doing demos. I couldn't hire salespeople quick enough. And it slowed down after a while, but we had just packed with demos for the first 4 months when we launched the platform.
Yo, God damn. Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. Okay. This is mind blowing for me. So you had a list built prior to it, and then you basically reached out and said, hey, this is what we're building. What should we do? What are your thoughts here? And you're making a two-way streak, two-way conversation while building it at the same time. How do you guys do that? Were you guys doing it through emails, or how are you guys communicating through the time? Because you guys
all email. All email. So we just we gave updates every 2 weeks. It would be like, say you invest in a company for $1,000. Every 2 weeks, that company was giving you an update on how the company's performing. We were doing the same thing with how we were developing. So basically, when we finished one page, we showed them. We finished our website, we showed them. We finished an email feature, we showed them. And they felt like, some of the people actually felt like it was their business because they were so involved with what we were building.
Wow. Damn. Okay. Now I have to give you a round of applause for that. This is the first time I ever heard of this kind of approach. And I think that's very strategic and very consultative. It's like you're basically, you know, it's risk-free.
Exactly.
Right? Hey, as a top funnel person, whatever, I sometimes see gaps, think about these kind of things like, hey, what if we were to somehow roll this out? And that kind of approach is very, very, very strategic. Sean, just to pick your brain here. So, you mentioned ideas. It all starts with ideas. Great ideas, right? And so let's say there's someone out there who has an idea and they say, you know what? I found a gap. I want to go ahead and get this type of software built out. What are a few advice or strategies you would have there for that person there? Like, what are next steps? Do they find a CTO? So how do they do that? And then when it comes to getting money built out, like, what's the funding process there? What does that look like? Is there anything you can share with us there?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I was lucky. I always find you need to find someone that can complement you. So for example, I was really good in sales, marketing, business development. And the partner I found was actually really good at coding operations. So he was developing operations. So you got to find someone that complements you. If you're a salesperson and you're partnering with another salesperson, it's not going to work because you still need a developer. So try and find someone that complements what you do. Now, funding, we did no funding. We didn't raise any money. We bootstrapped it, but we were very lean. So we were lean the entire way with hiring, with platforms, whatever we did. Every time we made a little bit of money, we kept reinvesting it. So we were never in debt. We were never, had a small runway. We kept reinvesting our money. And ideally what we did was we ended up getting lucky. We got two big, I guess you can call them whale clients. We had one whale client who within our first 3 months, we pretended we were a lot bigger than we are. And he gave me a check for $175,000 for a PO. Now, I didn't even have enough people to do the project. I wasn't even able to do the project, but I'm one of those people that always say yes, yes, yes. And I'll find a way to get that project done. And it was actually the number one telecom company in Canada. So everyone probably knows who Rogers is. They're biggest in Canada. They're like the AT&T in the US. And what I did was I ended up doing getting a PO, ended up within a week, hired 25 people to help with their project.
Yeah.
Finished the project. And that PO really accelerated our growth. A, it funded exchange leads, but B, we reinvested that money to build AutoClose. And that's how we bootstrapped AutoClose.
Okay. Hang on. Apologies on my PO. What is that?
Purchase order.
Okay. I know purchase order, but how does that work? I mean, they got a PO from you.
So they gave us a PO for a year for a data project. And we had to do a certain amount of contacts, custom contacts for them for the year. We hired more people, did the project, and we got paid up front for the year. And then after that, I gave us enough money to fund and start hiring people for our business.
Got it. Okay. And the PO was this was with auto close, right? Or
with exchange leads.
Oh, okay. This makes sense now. Okay, so taking a step back, they did a PO for exchange lead for data, and then you got the data that they needed verified and you finished time, and then you're like, okay, cool. Now we got this money, and then you use that money to roll out auto close. Auto close was born. Every money that you guys made, rather than you could just take it and go celebrate, buy all this stuff, you guys reinvest it back into the business to whatever it is to help to help drive growth and revenue. Is that basically what happened?
I could not say it any better than you did.
Oh, shit. That's great, man. Well, that's crazy. Well, congratulations. I was like, Sean, let's talk about product-led growth. This is a huge buzzword nowadays. You know, I'm fairly new to it myself. I just heard about like in March, and you know, it's been out there a lot. It's known as this use before you buy. And I believe you guys at AutoClose, you guys took that same approach too as well, right?
Yeah. So are you talking about like how we did a free trial? People did.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm going to give a little another tip. And this is a tip I got from the CEO of Drift, David Cancel. Okay. Yes. I met him at an event in Toronto and I asked him a question at the event. And I go, David, I'm giving a free trial. This is when I first started AutoClose for free. What do you recommend? He goes, never give anything for free. I'm like, but we don't have a brand. What do you mean? He goes, charge anything. I'm like, okay. He goes, ask your clients how much they're willing to pay for your software. If they say $20 a month, give it to them. If they say $1 a month, give it to them. He's like, no matter what, you want them to have some sort of credit card on file, even if it's a dollar, so they're invested. And that's what we did. My first 50 clients that signed up for AutoClose, what I did was I asked them how much, I showed them a demo, I go, how much is this platform worth to you? And whatever number they said, from $1 to $100, whatever number they said, it's yours.
Oh, damn.
Okay. So they could say $2 a month, I'll pay. It's yours. $1 a month. Some of them said 30 a month. I'm like, sure. He goes, well, I should have said 20. I'm like, you want it for 20, it's yours. And the reason why is you want them to, even I was going to give it for free, but like you want them to invest. One of the best things I've ever done was listen to David Cancel's advice and not give it for free. Because those people that even invest $1 give you feedback worth way more than that $1. And they are what helped us prioritize our features.
Oh, wow. Okay, learning something new here. So what we're hearing is like, if someone's starting out brand new software, whatever, right?
Yeah.
Few initial clients, you want to get them invested. And what that means is not just, it's not paying the money, it's not paying the dollars. Get them to use it, to adopt it, and to give you that direct feedback on
exactly
what should be, what can be improved, what shouldn't be there. And that's the feedback is what we're after here.
That's it. And you just want them to be invested. You want people using a free trial. You want people paying whatever it is. That could be, as I said, it could be a dollar. Have them invest something into your platform to get their credit card and your billing information in there.
Got it. Okay. This totally makes sense, because if you were to just give it all free right now, like how it is, those people were just come and go. And they, you
know, and they might not even use it.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Exactly.
But the first initial one, they invest in it. Hey, you know, how much things worth, Sean? Yeah, shit, man, I'll give you $5. All right, cool.
That's it.
Hey, you know, you could improve this. You can improve that.
That's exactly what we did.
Yes, Drew. Okay. Oh, man. Okay. All right, move to the next step here. So let's talk revenue. I'm curious, you know, you guys, you guys are still friendly and you guys just got acquired. Like what were your few strategies to get the name out there and let people know, hey, we're now in the game, you can try us. And how did you differentiate yourself, AutoClose, from other companies?
Yeah, it was a great question. We partnered and did a lot of different, I guess you can call them guerrilla marketing tactics or content marketing tactics with influencers. So what we did was we built a lot of ebooks that we'd have 30 of the top sales influencers involved in the ebook. We would then have them share with their networks. And we kept asking people to share and share and share. And it got a lot of people to visit AutoClose and give us a try. We worked a lot on branding, personal branding. I did a lot of LinkedIn videos, weekly LinkedIn live videos. We do a lot of webinars, a lot of partnerships. Basically, we want to be on all social channels, really driving personal branding. We spend $0 in marketing. We never spent marketing. We never did a pay-per-click ad. We had a $0 marketing budget. I just didn't even believe in it. We just always kept going and marketing ourselves, marketing through webinars, marketing through eBooks. And that's what brought all our leads in and helped us increase our revenue.
Oh, that's right. I remember seeing that. I mean, you guys never had a marketing department at all, right? No one in marketing, right?
Originally, we didn't. Then we did. But when we had a marketing department, it was more, we had a content writer. We ended up hiring about a year later an SEO person, which I recommend people hiring way earlier than we did because it's one of the most important things we did, but we did it too late. But we just hired people. We didn't ever spend money on pay-per-click or Google AdWords or Facebook ads or LinkedIn ads. We spent $0 on marketing PPC.
Well, you know, that kind of reminds me of Elon Musk and Tesla. They spend $0 on marketing, right? They just reinvest it back into the business.
Exactly.
Make the product better. I have to say something, Sean. I remember when I first, I was just like doing these sales engagement platform review walkthroughs, and I did on foxbound.io, reply.io, and AutoClose. And by far, the best one that has the visualization, like tech and SaaS feel, was AutoClose. I guarantee
I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I mean it sincerely. I'll say it here. When I did it, the drag and drop was so simple, it was smooth, and then you can just drop the pictures in. Was that part of your philosophy there? Like you want to give it that? I think I call it UI or UX. No, I think it's UI or something. Like the image, the way it makes.
Yeah,
it
yeah. So we actually ended up hiring somebody to do our UX again. But one of the things we really focused on from day one was ease of use. We wanted to make our clients as, you know, salespeople in general, they don't want to go in and have to do a lot of things. We want to make it as easy as drag and drop, type the email, press go and let it run, you know, plug and play.
That's pretty much what it was. Oh man, I remember when I signed up on the product letter, I was like, damn, this is nice. It feels nice.
Yeah.
It looks nice. And you know, I'll be dead on. Like if there's a brand new SDR and BDR who just got into the tech game and like, you know, oh yeah, I'm in tech now, you know, and it's the first time they ever see like a sales engagement platform and they use like AutoClose and see how simplified it is, that would like give it like the ultimate wow experience, I believe on my end.
Kudos. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sean, so acquisition. This is why I'm really excited to have you on, because you just got acquired. Congratulations, by the way. I'm fairly new to learning when it comes to things like getting acquired. Like you still have to deliver on your promise on your back end for the board or whatever until you guys can like, call it cash out or something. You know, I just want to pick your brain a little bit. Like when a company gets acquired, what typically happens? How does it slowly emerge? Does it AutoClose later just disappear? You know, vanilla soft icon comes on. What does?
Great question. Yeah. So we actually didn't have much of a break. So we were, you know, we're still AutoClose on September 30th. And then October 1st, the company was acquired. I think one of the biggest challenges is merging the two companies and really letting the AutoClose team know, because we had to keep it quiet for a very long time. So we only let them know about a week before, which was tough because I was really close with everyone. But, you know, it's still, we're 9 months in, we're still kind of merging and getting one familiar with each other. It takes a lot of time. But going through the acquisition, it's ups and downs. Our acquisition took about 11 months. So it was back and forth negotiating, but we didn't have a cash out. So we ended up doing an equity cash deal. So we ended up getting some equity inside VanillaSoft, as well as we got cash up front, and there's some that they hold for a year just to make sure that everything you told them during the due diligence process is still intact and you weren't lying about anything. So it's a long process. We were fortunate that, you know, David at VanillaSoft, the CEO, was A great guy to work with. It was very easy to have conversations with. We met a few times, but it takes time. It takes time to adjust to a new product, new culture, the way they do things, new processes. It all we're still learning today, and we're almost a year in.
Got it. Okay. This is really exciting to me. And the reason why is because when my most previous role at Better Growth, I was actually subject to one of the other companies. I was tasked to with another company that was from across the globe who provided a solution that, you know, fixes with acquisition and stuff like that in terms of alignment. I'm curious to pick your brain in your end, you know, as a leader at AutoClose. So normally what happens from what I understand is once a company gets acquired, they break the news. Hey guys, just keep doing what you're doing.
Yep.
We got acquired, but a lot of them all of them ask themselves, like, they're like, oh, damn, what's going to happen to me?
Yeah.
So how do you approach that? What's the strategy there to let them know that, you know, because most of them will be like, oh, shit, yeah, I might be out. Yeah, I got to start looking around. How do you tackle retention?
So we from the beginning made sure that everyone knew that this was a good opportunity for them as well, for personal growth, et cetera. So what we did was we laid out that personal growth plan. So this is your position today. You know, we were a 25 person company. We're getting acquired by a company that already has 75 people. There's a lot more job opportunity. There's two product lines you can sell. So we show them all the different things that will be benefiting from this acquisition, made sure they understood that. But the one thing we did from the beginning was made sure we made sure that everyone's job was secure. So part of my negotiation with VanillaSoft was that I wanted to make sure my entire team and no one got fired.
Wow. Congratulations. Wow. Sean Finer, just like Ralph Barcy, you do not believe in head counts. You believe in heart counts. That's what real leaders do. Hey, look, you want to acquire my company? You got to throw this in the mix. None of them are getting fired or getting let go.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I'm sure right after that, once you made that message across the board and they know for a fact that it's going to be okay, did morality internally boost up more? Like they're more like a fan, like they treat each other more?
It was a roller coaster. I mean, early on, it was a lot of change for everyone. They felt like we were still considered two product lines. We were being treated differently. But as time goes on, now we become one big team. Where early on, I said we did have some difficulty, but now everything takes time. And as I said, an acquisition takes time. Nothing happens overnight. I've learned that. So you just got to give it some time and continue to build your culture. And if the culture is the right fit, everyone will get accustomed to that new culture.
Yeah. Curious to pick your brain real quick again, one more time on this one. So here we have AutoClose, we have VanillaSoft. So you now have two sales team that you need to squish into one like a sandwich. And, sometimes they're like, no, we do things this way. The other one's like, no, we do things that way. Like, how do you guys attack that?
Great question. We're still in the middle of attacking that. So right now it's still two product lines, two different sales teams.
Yeah.
But the goal in Q4 of this year, we met last week, is to try and consolidate more of the teams. So it's definitely something that we need to do, but it definitely hasn't happened yet. With everything with integrations of the platforms, the development platforms, moving people into different positions, so much going on, but that's something we need to tackle at the end of this year.
Got it. Totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, Sean. I appreciate you. Sean, after this, what's next for you?
Great question. So I do, there is equity on the table with VanillaSoft. So right now I'm still at VanillaSoft. So it's an 18-month contract after the acquisition, a minimum. The plan is not to leave, because the goal is, especially for their CEO who gambled on us, I want to make sure that we help them out. So our founding team is there. We're happy. And we're trying to grow the company so that they can have a successful exit or whatever is next for them as well. So that's that. But I'm sure at some point when the time is right, I'll be right back into the entrepreneurial mindset again and doing the same thing a few more times in my life. But I would say for the next year or two, I'm not there yet, but maybe some smaller tools, but nothing too big, at least for the next few years.
Oh man, how exciting. Can't wait to see what that looks like. Okay. Sean, I know we booked ourselves for an hour, but I just want to time check real quick. How are we doing on time on our end? Just to double check with you.
Oh, we're good. We're good. Yep.
Okay. Just a few more questions I want to pick your brain on. So you, as a leader, you're a sales professional. You came from the finance side, made a jump, entered the world of unknown, and you found a need, and then success breeds success. Here comes Exchange Lead. Bam. Yep. Took a gamble. Got a huge purchase order. Right, Rogers. Bam. Oh, snap. Let's get this project done. You could have just, hey, look,
yeah,
whatever, you know, go out, mess around, party, celebrate, blow the whole cash, whatever. But instead, you're like, hey, man, let's just bootstrap this. Bam, roll it out. So that being said, you are a sales professional, a sales leader, someone who's been in the game for a very long time. And I'm sure you've interviewed many, many, many sales professionals. When it comes to looking for, let's say to someone to bring on the team, right? A sales professional, maybe an AE or an SDR. What kind of characteristics do you look for?
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. One, I look for someone that's played a competitive sport. So I look for somebody that's played basketball, tennis, golf, anything. Two, on an interview, I make sure they're coachable. And three, which you're going to ask me why, is I look for somebody that, if I can, that has worked at a bank.
Okay. Why bank?
You ready? And this is the reason. The banks give you the best training out of any industry company in the world. If you go to a bank, they teach you how to cold call. They teach you how to do everything and they pay for it. So when you get that person, you don't have to pay for the coaching and a lot of the stuff. It's already been done. So I always look for somebody that might've been a teller, might've worked something at the bank, because I know they've been trained properly because the banks train the best employees.
Oh my God. Yes. Yes. Okay. You know, I have to say something too. This, I love that. No, I really do. You know, but what kind of sucks too that I see in the tech world, there's a lot of people in like the banking, you know, field, when they try to make a horizontal jump into tech too, it's kind of hard for them. I interviewed someone not too long ago about that too. And we talked about, like, he's from Wells Fargo. Like, they teach him how to code call and stuff like that. But I guess maybe that's just a tech scene, but you know, or maybe because auto close is different, right? One love. Oh man. Sean, I want to pick your brain on this one too, one more time, real quick, just before we go with this one. Talk about coach, bro. You train them. What? That's like the number one trait. I think it's on for like all sales roles. You got to be coachable. Is this guy coachable? Yeah. Because if he's the lone wolf, he's gonna say, "Screw this, man. Sorry, Sean. I don't need you. See ya." How do you test them on the phone when it comes to being coachable?
I just like to see how people react when you give them feedback or you give them advice. Do they listen to your advice or they just go their own way? So somebody that's coachable will listen more than they'll talk. So when I'm telling somebody, you know, I think you should try this, they will actually go and try it. So I always look at that, and you can kind of tell a person's personality on an interview. So typically within the first 5 minutes of an interview, I can tell if a person's coachable or not, just by listening to how they respond. When I ask the question, how they respond to the question, do they ask me questions? Are they listening to me? Or are they, you know, are they texting while they're on the interview? There's different things that I can look at to see how coachable somebody is.
Oh, wow. Okay. You can actually feel and see and hear and know exactly. It, right? Like whether they're sitting down or talking, or maybe they're standing up and talking.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, Sean. All right. So let's just wrap this up here. Sean, if there's anyone out there who, you know, has an idea, right? Got an idea. There's a huge gap here. It needs to be solved. They want to roll out. SaaS company, what kind of advice would you have for that individual? How would they get started? And what are a few things they got to look out for?
The best thing I would do is, if you have an idea, just try it out. Build some sort of MVP, do some sort of survey. Don't quit your job right away unless you know that it's going to work. And what I did, I'll just tell the audience, what I did was I built my first company, Exchangely. I was building while I was working for a year. And what I said was, when I quit my day job, I have 5 months of money in the bank that I can pay my rent, pay for food, and give it a go. So I gave myself 5 months from day one to launch and get profitable with Exchange Leads. And I recommend everyone do that. Don't just quit your job and say, I'm going to become an entrepreneur. Test it out. And when the time is right, that's when you take the leap. And I took the leap. Interesting. I took the leap when I made my first $50 with Exchange Leads. I took the leap, but I knew in my mind it was going to work.
Wow. Fantastic. 5 months out, capital, runway, risk taker, yep. Breaker, no risk, no reward.
Okay. Was that
when you left the bank job?
That was when I started the director of sales role. I was working there. I was paying my development. So the only salary I had was my developer out in Eastern Europe. And he developed the product. I knew it wasn't ready to sell yet. But when it was day one, I sold my first thing for $50. And I quit my six-figure job for $50 and said to myself, I have 5 months to grow it.
Oh, 50 bucks.
50 bucks.
$5 a bench tomorrow. Well, Sean, this has been great. We thank you so much for coming on the One Up Sales Development Podcast to share some insights on revenue and how to start a SaaS business if you ever had an idea. If there's anyone out there who wants to reach out to you and say thank you, what's the best way to do so?
Many ways. So LinkedIn, add me as a connection on LinkedIn. You can find me as Sean Finder. Email me if you'd like, sean@autoclose.com, sean@autoclose.com. If you have any question about sales, hiring, product-led growth, anything whatsoever, email me, LinkedIn me. I'm more than happy to help.
There it is. Sean Finder, everyone. Thank you, Sean, for coming on in. And welcome. Thanks again for coming on to One Up Sales Development Podcast.